This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is the Deen Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. And we are excited that you're with us again for another exciting topic in the Deen Show studio, Sheikh Khalid Yassin. And for those of you that are tuning in for the first time, or you got your family member or friend, and you're with us today, we're going to be explaining to you how, because many times when we try to bring up these very important topics, you know what, many of us, we just don't got time for it. The economy's bad. You're about to lose your house on foreclosure. Your kid, your child, your girl just got pregnant, and your son's on drugs, on dope, and the world just upside down, and you want to just talk to me about religion now? I don't got time to that. I got major issues. Well, this way of life, that's from the creator of the heavens and earth, solves all your problems. So we're going to be doing some problem solving, showing you that this way of life is a way of life that when you implement it, it is something that brings not only peace and contentment to one's life, but solves all the problems that are out there. We'll be right back here with Sheikh Khalid Yassin on the Deen Show.
This is 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 the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Imsam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Sheikh Khalid?
Alhamdulillah, thankful, bro.
Thank you for joining us again here at the Deen Show studio.
We're glad to be here, brother.
And we, you know, it just, something that for us, we're convinced through research. I know myself, I personally went through a lot of struggles in life, a lot of problems, and Islam solved all the problems. It wasn't something that was accepted by blind faith. Did a lot of research, took a scientific, analytical approach, and the more I studied it, along with many millions, millions, millions of people, they were convinced that this was a way of life from the creator of the heavens and earth through deep research, through researching all the other world religions. So now for those people who are having problems, you know, they're about to foreclose on their house, the economy's upside down, so many problems, and you know what, don't bring me this religious stuff. How is this going to change my life? How is it going to solve my problems? You know, what do you got to say about this shit?
Well, you know, I think that that's a very simplistic approach. And it may seem oversimplistic to most people, but it's not. You know, at the source of all problems, there are some fundamental issues. And from a purely religious point of view, unless religion can be manifested through the solving of problems, why should anybody want to join our religion or even talk to us about religion? As I was mentioning just some time ago, even though America is a very religious country, according to most statistics, 81% of Americans believe in God. Go to church once a month or whatever the case might be, which is a phenomenal place to be where it's no problem about believing in God. It's something to everybody. But what kind of implementation do we have? But today people are running away from the religion.
Running away from it?
Yeah, not running away from the religion itself, but running away from the principles.
Yes,
Nobody wants to talk about religion today, as you said, unless the religion has a solution. Now, because it's solution. You know, if your muffler drops off in the middle of the street, what are you looking for? You're looking for a place somebody can put that back up there so you can do something with that sound. If your car stops, you're looking for a mechanic, somebody to solve the solution. And unless Muslims, the 8 million Muslims living in North America, unless we become solution-oriented, So what if we recognize the same problems that everybody else recognizes? If our religion doesn't somewhat lead to the solving of those problems, why should somebody have time or want to talk to us about religion? So I think that what we need to do is take sit down for a moment and set aside doctrine for a moment, set aside culture for a moment, set aside all the nostalgia about the most powerful religion, 1.5 billion people, blah, 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 and ask ourselves, are we solving problems? And if we are solving problems, then we should be like that dentist, okay, that everybody wants to come to because he's giving them a good smile. That doctor that everybody wants to come to because this guy got some procedures or whatever makes them feel better. You know, that psychiatrist or psychologist who's solving problems in homes and marriages, you know, and restoring people's dignity and sanity. If we're not like that, then why should people listen to us? I mean, how did Toyota come into America and take over the automotive industry? It wasn't because they had chopsticks, you know what I'm saying, and good Chinese food or whatever, or Japanese food. No, it was competition. It's producing the best product and service and giving people that when they buy a car, the best warranty. That's how they did it. And Americans ate it up, and now we're Toyota, or Nissan, or whatever addicts. That is, once you buy one, you're not gonna ride in something else. Well, why wouldn't people listen to Muslims if they knew that we had a way to restore our economic integrity? And I mean, we got something simple in Islam to do that: stay away from riba, stay away from compounding interest, stay away from that whole idea of something for nothing. Don't buy credit cards. You're being ripped off. You're being set up. And don't Americans see that right now? So if Muslims were to say, hey, we're 8 million and we got our own bank, you know, and our bank is worth, you know what I mean, 38 billion, and we're willing to buy back the homes of 10,000 Americans if they qualify. What's the qualification? Okay, let us manage your debt. Number one, cut up your credit cards. Number two, do not engage in any more usurious transactions. And take a course in Islam 101 so at least you understand the principles. And if you do that, we give you back your home. So how many Americans then would be looking for our company?
So you're problem solving now.
We're problem solving.
According to Islam.
Yes.
So Islam is saying that there is no compounded interest. Interest is totally forbidden.
Yeah, but leave the word forbidden alone.
Yeah.
You know, just leave the word forbidden. Just give the people back their homes.
Give them back their homes.
Okay, and then tell them, let us manage your debt. Cut up your credit cards. And sign a document that says that you will not get into this situation again.
I think people like this.
Yeah, they will hear it.
Because they're like, I'm getting my home back?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so see, we got their attention now.
Yeah. So let's take another problem. You know, today we have more young people in jail. We have more young people in jail that certain countries have in their workforce. So can we take those kids out of jail and provide them with a lifestyle, an option, okay, that will reform their lives? Yes, we can. Okay, so we tell young people, listen, just roll with us. You got a job. Roll with us. We're going to get you through school. Roll with us. We're going to set you up and teach you how to do business on your own. You don't have to work for nobody else. You don't have to wait for a job. Just roll with us. But the thing is, first reform yourself where you are. Reforming yourself means be disciplined, be decent, be good, you know, be respectful. You know, be balanced. You know, prepare yourself for success. Dress in a certain way. Speak in a certain way. Okay, and while you're doing all this, we're going to give you guys $300 a month, you know what I'm saying, just while you're doing this here course. So how many young people, okay, would want to take that? And then we can go to the courts and say, listen, we got an alternatives to incarceration program. You know, for one out of every three kids you're going to put in jail, and it's going to cost $38,000 a year to take care of them in jail for the taxpayers' money, give them to us. And when we show you what we can do with that young person, give us two out of three. Until we solve a problem for the taxpayer, we solve a problem for those parents, we solve a problem for those young people. People don't even care if we're Muslims if we're solving that kind of a problem. So our issue is that we're prone towards doctrine. We're arguing about doctrine, who's right, who's wrong, from an ideological point of view, from a school of thought point of view. I mean, that's some old baggage. We need to solve problems. When we start solving problems where people are hungry, people are confused, you know, people are frustrated, people are committing suicide, solve those problems. And then America is going to start looking at us for the solutions. When they look at us from the solutions, they're going to hear our ideals, and some of them are going to inevitably embrace Islam.
Problem solving. Not just talk, but action.
Yes.
So Islam takes care of all these issues, drugs, alcohol abuse. If we got problems there, big time. How do we solve these problems?
Well, you know, Islam has solved those problems throughout its history. I mean, you know, I don't like to say to people, oh, you know, we're not allowed to eat pork. We're not allowed to drink alcohol. Oh, you know, we're not allowed to dance with girls. We're not allowed to go to parties. That's like, just like, no, 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 no. Who wants to join a religion? You know what I'm saying? It's like everything is no. No, we say that, you know, we don't drink because it's obvious what drinking alcohol does. It's not so obvious when you manufacture alcohol. You know, people who manufacture alcohol, they just get rich and rich. People who manufacture cigarettes, they just get richer and richer. So why wouldn't I want to manufacture alcohol and cigarettes? But look at what alcohol and cigarettes have done to our country. Look what it's done all over the world. Okay, then you can see why God said, don't take toxins into your body and don't drink alcohol. Now, if we were to promote the whole idea of a sober society, a sobriety, okay, a society of sobriety. That sounds good, right?
Yes.
A society of sobriety. So what would we do if we convinced 10% of Americans not to drink? What would we do if we convinced 10% of Americans not to use drugs? What would we do in America if we would teach people moral abstinence, sexual abstinence, okay? You see a decline in STDs and so many other kinds of problems. So we already have this in our religion or our system of life. Why don't we promote it, but promote it in a non-religious way? And Allah knows best.
We're going to take a break, Sheikh, and we'll be right back with more with Sheikh Khalid Yassin here on The Deen Show.
Whatever Allah commands you to do, you need to do it.
Islam has tolerance and mercy and compassion.
To know that Allah, you know, will forgive you as long as you do what you need to do, as long as you turn back to Him.
Islam is a system of mercy and compassion, and it is for the best benefit of all of the people that's around it, Muslim and non-Muslim.
Back here on The Deen Show, and today we're showing that this way of life that was lived by all the messengers of God, it's not an organized religion by man or men or a company. It's organized by the one who created this whole universe and everything in it. And when you implement it the right way, all your problems will be solved. Is this correct, Sheikh?
That's correct.
Tell us now, there was a show on MTV. I got to see it at the Andalusia Center with our brothers down in Texas. And they were showing us how they try to reach out to a lot of the youth, and they have these get-togethers, and they use some of the things that are out there. For instance, there's a program on MTV called Cross the Line. So what they showed was there was teens. There were teens that were 14, 15, 16, 17, even some young adults. And now they asked the question that how many of you have attempted or tried to commit suicide? About 60-70% they crossed the line. That's the show Cross the Line. Mm-hmm. Big problem now. Why are teens, these young adults, priming this is the prime of their life. It's a big problem for parents and those teens trying to take their life, thinking about it even. How does Islam solve this problem?
Yeah, you know, we could say that suicide is forbidden in Islam. Yeah, we could approach it from that
it's
point.
Haram.
Yeah, this is haram.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just a doctrinal statement. People just don't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to commit suicide today. No, it's a culmination of frustration, low self-esteem, other kinds of complications that bring a person to that point where they don't see any way out, and they don't see any value to themselves, and they don't see any value to their lives or to the world. So they get to a point where they just kind of think to themselves, hey man, I think it's better for me not to be here. This is my way out. So they don't see themselves crossing the line. Of course, it's a stage of insanity for a person to take their life and not to see anything else. But the point is, they haven't been given any value at that point. What Islam does is give the human being value. When a human being has value of themselves, value of the world, they see a light at the end of the tunnel. They see an objective to what they're doing. They're not going to commit suicide. Why? Because they're striving to live and get the best out of life. So I think what we need to do as Muslims is not go into this thing about it's haram, you know, it's forbidden. No, we should talk to people, and you find out through evaluation what brought them to that point. And give them to something, okay? You know, a child, if they're brought to the edge of a cliff, a seven-year-old child, a three-year-old child, you take them to the edge of a cliff and they look down, what do?
They're going to run back.
They pull back.
Yeah.
Because they have value. It's an intrinsic value. It's a knee-jerk value. It's something that's part of the fitrah of the human being. When you got a person that goes to that edge and just jumps off, what have they done? Dissonance. They went into something they call dissonant rejection. So now it means that that normal value that comes up, it's not there anymore. Why not jump? We need to give them this value. And so by talking to human beings about the value of life, talking to human beings about the value of themselves, talking to human beings about how they can change the world, talking to human beings about the tools that they have been given, talking to human beings not from a religious standpoint of view, but from a value base. Okay, so we can change things if we change the way we deliver it. You know, we keep saying religion to people. You know, you used to think about a new religion. What's your religion? You know, you think about Islam. Islam is a great religion. The person is not saying to you, hey, man, I'm not even about no religion, man. I'm trying to make some money. I'm trying to get married, trying to be successful. I ain't really got no time for religion, but I'll think about that later on. But all the things that they're trying to get to and do calls for value and discipline. So if you said to them, listen, along the way towards success, try to pick up some values and tools that help you stay on point and disciplined, they might listen. So I think this is the approach that we need to do. And if we do that, whether it's young people or old people or people in different situations, Islam works. It smells good. It tastes good. It feels good. It looks good. And today, anything that's good is good. And the Quran said, "Hal jaza'ul ihsan illa al-ihsan." Is there any other reward for good other than good? The answer is bala. Definitely.
I heard a young man once say that religion, he didn't like using the word religion because it was like something you put on Sunday, a real tight suit or something. So religion, is Islam a system, a complete way of life? Is it something that you do just, you know, on the weekends, Sunday comes, Friday comes, you do it once a week? Or what we're talking about, is this something that is implemented 24/7?
Yeah. Islam is micro. Islam is macro. Islam is you. Islam is the world. Islam is universal. Islam is us. Islam is everything. It's integrated. It's powerful. It all fits. It all makes sense. And if you're a good Muslim, you're going to be successful. You can only succeed. It's like Vince Lombardi said, there's no option other than winning if you're a Muslim. So when we are able to take our faith system and implant it where people can see it, smell it, taste it, then people are going to select to stand under our tree. People are going to pick the fruit from our tree. People are going to use our goods and services, and they're going to like it. And invariably, somebody's going to find out, hey, I should be a Muslim, and therefore I become a protracted beneficiary of this here. Not just like a consumer, but I'm part of the company.
What if someone says, you know what, religion altogether is something that it creates more problems, more havoc in the land. Look at all the wars that are out there because of it. I'm more scientific. I'd rather stay away from religion. I'm a good person. I don't hurt nobody. What do you got to say?
Well, you know, scientific, you know, when a person says that.
Have you heard this argument?
Of course I have. You know, scientific is like, you know, see, touch, taste, feel, you know, all the sensory, whatever the case might be. But what about thinking? See, thinking. See, I ask a guy, touch a thought. Let me see a thought. But you are a thinking person, and you make the right decision and make the wrong decisions. If you don't have the capacity, the ethical, moral capacity to make the right decision, you're going to continue making wrong ones. I don't care how rich you are. You know, we can just name people who made wrong decisions based upon their moral or ethical capacity. And this is what Islam gives to us, the ability to think. That's what makes human beings different from animals. We are able to think. And the Quran came for thinking people. Not just people, Yansim, who just following Yansim, just rules and doctrines. Critical thinking. This is what Islam gave to us. And so the person who thinks critically adds value to their lives, adds value to the lives of others, and adds value to the world. A farmer, He's not just a guy following doctrine. He's adding value. And that's why either he gets a higher crop or a lesser crop. And we need to talk to people about value and about life and about success. And then if we, at the end of it, when people see that I'm successful, you know, and they see my family and they see the outcome, and they see, you know, this guy, I like being around this guy, but I don't know why. It's because the residual of my beliefs. Inevitably, he's going to become an ally, or he's going to inevitably become what? A Muslim.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more here on The Deen Show.
Death and the Day of Judgment, the mercy of Allah, these are the things that finally made me realize there is no time to delay anymore. I wanted to take my shahada right there.
The essence of spirituality is to become more sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplate death itself. It is very, very scary, but it brings you back to reality. There is a life which is everlasting in the hereafter. You have to make a conscious decision of which group of people do you want to be of, the people of heaven or the people of hell.
Back on The Deen Show, problem solving, showing how the way of life from the creator of the heavens and earth, it needs to be a system that solves the problems, doesn't add to it. But now, today, there's many misconceptions that people say, why am I going to be a Muslim? It seems like Islam or Muslims are just adding to the problems. They're making the problems, all the mischief in the land, terrorism, things blowing up. What am I going to become a Muslim and then be a suicide bomber? I'm going to end up blowing up a pizzeria. Why would I want to be a Muslim if this is what Islam, all over the media, is associated with?
Yeah, this is I think that's a very fair a question, a very fair approach, and we shouldn't be reactionary in answering that. We should be responsive. And I say to people, a person says to me, well, who wants to be a Muslim today? I mean, you know, my parents are not going to like me. If I become a Muslim, everybody's going to turn against me. I mean, you know, Muslims are perceived as this and that. I said, well, I would agree with you that the way that Islam is perceived, I wouldn't want to be a part of that. But perception is only perception. Okay. But if I were to tell you, you know, that 7 of the major, deadliest, social, crippling diseases in this world today, Muslims don't have that. I mean, a good Muslim doesn't have that kind of a disease because of our values. Generally, we stay away from those kinds of diseases.
Which diseases are you talking about?
Like sexually transmitted diseases. Mm-hmm. This comes from promiscuity, okay?
Yes.
Smoking cigarettes and, you know, like Muslims, we don't do that. Neither do we smoke and we don't sell cigarettes, you see? You know, the issue about the compounded debt. And we only own and buy what we can afford. We don't buy credit cards with this whole thing about the dream, getting something for nothing and, you know, just going out and spending above our means. We don't do that. Okay, the second thing is that this whole thing of depression. A Muslim, our favorite statement is, Alhamdulillah. When somebody dies, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We're able to absorb that trauma in a minute. Why? Because our values allow us to do that.
You said something in Arabic. Can you translate those for us?
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. From Allah we come. He's the owner of everything. And to Allah we return because He's the owner of everything. You know, we say Alhamdulillah, all praise due to God for everything our Prophet used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever somebody asked him how he felt, even though he was in pain. When somebody asked him how he felt and he was sick. When somebody asked him how he felt and he was hungry. He always say Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God. So because of that, his demeanor is always up. He has dependence upon God. Secondly, a person depends upon God. He's not going to get frustrated and want to kill himself because he don't own the life. He understands that. So as Muslims, we are successful people. We are people that have prominence. We're people that plan. We're people that have discipline. And so I would say that if a person took a good look at Islam, not a good look at Muslims, but a good look at Islam, they're going to be able, you know, it's like they got the book. If you got the book, you get the principles, and you follow the book and you follow the principles, you don't have to be subject to the people who have the book but they don't follow it, or the people, you know, who talk the principles but they don't act upon it. So this is what we have in Islam, and I think that every American should take a course, Islam 101. You know, I call it Islam 101 for everyone. Why? Because if Islam is a faith system that gives the human being integrity, and balance, and discipline, and focus, and gives them more respect for themselves, respect for their parents, gives them a greater loyalty and a sense of integrity about their country and about the world, and gives them a new world view. I think that if a course in Islam 101 might open me up to that, would I want to take a course like that? Yes, because that's called empowerment. You know, people are buying little small books with 100 pages and reading it on the train or plane to do what? To become empowered. So somebody said to me just a little while ago, why don't we take, you know, 40 sayings of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and don't say the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, just put it in a little small book and put it inside the Doubleday or somebody said bookstores, Barnes & Noble, and see if people will take it up to change their lives. This is what we can do. And in a certain amount of time, we would have overcome this whole issue of Islam being dehumanized and demonized. Why? Because we have shown people tangible value.
Now, we believe in Islam that every person is born in original goodness, born to do good, to live good, but it's built on a foundation. Before we come to an end, can you just talk about what is the main foundation that this way of life is built on?
This way of life is built upon the principle of doing good. This way of life is built upon the position of reciprocity. Not just having good, but doing good. You know, it's like the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Islam is built upon that kind of a principle. Islam is also built upon the principle that human beings are beneficiaries. We are not owners. Human beings, you see, are creation. We are not creators. So we are dependent, but not upon each other. We're dependent upon a higher value. And so Islam is built upon this whole idea that human beings have been endowed by their creator. And as such, we've been endowed, now we become responsible. If you're given something, you're responsible to give something back. So because of this profound principle that Islam is built upon, we have the wherewithal to be able to give and not worry about it coming back to us. It's got to come back to us. We have this idea that telling the truth is not because if I don't tell the truth, I'm going to be found guilty or complications. No, because when you tell the truth, it's therapeutic. It's self-cleansing. When you do good unto human beings, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Wa ahsinu inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin." This means in Arabic, so do good unto others. Verily Allah, he loves those who do good. So this is the whole principle of Islam. And if we were to understand that, everyone in their right mind would want to be a beneficiary of that value.
Now, we're about to come to, again, just a couple more points. Actually, one more. Tell us, now everything sounds good, and we know that this way of life, it produces good. When you implement it, you do it, you live good, you feel good. But for some people say, you know what, that's what my religion teaches. My religion of Hinduism, of Christianity, it's all the same. They all teach good. So this way of life, when we start to do it, the crust core now is, are there weird things associated with it too? So other religions might teach, they teach good, but then you're rolling around with rats. They teach some good, and they don't, and then you're bound down to a statue. It teaches good, and then you're doing some crazy rituals that, you know what, the average person, his innate nature rejects this. It doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense. Is there something weird in the background when we present Islam that people need to be fearful of? A G.I. Joe, we're going to pull it down. You got to worship this man over
Eddie,
here.
Eddie, I think I'd like to kind of like simplify it.
Yeah.
You know, in the world today, countries are measured by products and services.
Yeah.
GMP, is that what they call it?
Mm-hmm.
So you can talk all about your religion, but I say let us all bring our religion into a forum.
Bring it all together.
Bring it into a forum and just and put it out there. Because when you put your product out there, it can be examined as vis-a-vis other products.
Yes.
We got the best product and we got the best service. That's what we say. Others say they got best product and best service. Okay, present your product and your service to humanity and let us see. See, Americans, 5 out of 8 Americans, I'm told now, prefer to buy a Japanese car. They outwardly. Does that mean that they don't have loyalty? No. It means they want the best product, the most reliable. So that's what it comes down to. I think that if we were given the opportunity to show the products and the services of Islam. Okay? Vis-a-vis the other products and services of other people's religion, bringing them all into the forum is what would prove that. And that's what we need the opportunity to do. We need the opportunity, and we should welcome the opportunity to sit down with Christians and Hindus and Jewish people and Buddhist people and anybody who claims to have a religion. And because the proof of religion is just like the proof of a restaurant. What's the proof? It's in the tasting.
Proof's in the pudding, huh?
It's in the pudding.
Yeah.
So we should welcome the opportunity to discuss Islam in the open forum of the world. And for people to ask us, so what have you done lately? You know, not what Islam has done, but what are we doing now? What's our plan for the future? And if we come into that forum and we don't have the answers, something is wrong with us, nothing wrong with Islam. And that's what we need to prepare ourselves to do. And I think when we do that, the world and our society and our fellow Americans, they're going to be able to see the beauty and the power of Islam.
Thank you very much. We're out of time.
Thank you, brother. Very much. Always nice to be on the Dean Show, and always we look forward to. Thank you so much.
Look forward to having you again. May God Almighty, the Creator of Allah, reward you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Alhamdulillah.
And thank you for sitting tight through another episode of the Dean Show. You can visit us here every week, same time, same channel, to learn more about this way of life. You can also give us a call anytime, 1-800-662-ISLAM. And we hope to see you again next time. Until then, peace be unto you.